The Buddha, as well as being humorous, is intensely creative. Sometimes people, scholars argue that the texts of the Pali Canon are written by sort of committees of monks in later years who are wanting to put forward some kind of doctrinal orthodoxy. Well, there are texts that are written like that. They're called the Abhidhamma, and they read in a certain way. They're very, very technical and very dull, extremely dull, genuinely dull. But in the Pali Canon, in the discourses, you have metaphors, similes, and parables, some of which have a quite extraordinary degree of creativity. And that creativity and originality is only apparent sometimes when you know a little bit about the context. But the Buddha describes the mind as a fire, the mind as water, the mind as a house, the mind as a mass of foam floating down the Ganges, the mind as a bubble on the surface of the water, a mirage at dawn, an illusion at the crossroads created by a travelling magician. The Buddha we think of as the silent sage who didn't like to say much. In fact, you have a torrent of poetry, of metaphor, of images. The Buddha puts things in so many different ways. He has a vision of reality, that's very clear. And then he finds an abundance of ways of expressing them. And I don't think committees come up with that creativity. He stretched the language, and he opened up the ways of thinking that his contemporaries had. The myths that they had, he gave a new meaning. So one of the retelling of a myth that I really like is the story of Vepachitti, Lord of the Asuras. The Asuras are sort of demons or titans, and they are like the titans and gods of Greek mythology. The Asuras and the Devas are always fighting in Indian mythology. So there was Vepachitti, the Lord of the Asuras, bound neck, hand and foot. Vepachitti is the king of the Asuras, and he's been captured in battle. And he's been given a very particular, incredibly subtle punishment. There was Vepachitti, the Lord of the Asuras, bound neck, hand and foot. When the thought occurred to him, the Devas, the people who imprisoned him, are in the right, and the Asuras are in the wrong, I'm now going over to the city of the Devas, then he viewed himself as freed from that fivefold bond. In other words, when he thinks, these people who've imprisoned me, they're great, then his shackles drop off. But when he thinks, the Asuras are in the right, and the Devas are in the wrong, I will go over to the city of the Asuras, then he viewed himself as bound with the fivefold bond. So, in other words, when he gets angry with the gods, then the shackles reappear. Now, in that's like an image out of Kafka or something, isn't it? And the Buddha's point about it is that this is exactly what we do to ourselves. When we think in a certain way, then the shackles appear. When we think in a different way, the shackles disappear. The mind forged manacles. That's a phrase from Blake, if you don't know. So, yes, a committee didn't come up with that little story. That was some kind of genius, some kind of literary genius. And it takes us into the intricacy of the Buddha's mind, a very intricate intelligence that's able to bring that out. He's the silent sage, but he's also the master of language.